All right. If you would open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We pretty much finished up last week on how a church should respond when there is an instance of child molestation or domestic violence and things of that nature. But one of the questions that was brought up as we were looking at this is, what is the difference between discipline and child abuse? I want to start off with just a couple things from what the world says, some of which are true and some of which are false. But our world will say that any form of spanking is child abuse, psychological abuse, and damages children. And they will use statistics, which, by the way, are true, and that is children that are spanked do end up being worse behaved in older life. Okay, that is a true statement. That is statistically true. Now, that being said, those statistics are skewed because spanking also includes those who abuse their children. It includes any form of discipline, including the parent who slapped a hand once or twice when the child was two but never did any discipline when they were older or younger. That includes every form of, did your parents ever slap you, spank you, use a spoon, any of that. Okay? This is not referring to what we would call consistent biblical discipline. That is just across the board. And what we're going to see from Hebrews and Proverbs and everywhere else, that is exactly what we should expect in our society. When people do not follow what the Bible teaches concerning raising children, but only follow a portion of it, we should expect them to turn out worse. The Pharisees followed the Bible, right? Well, part of it, and they produced twofold sons of hell. That's what we should expect. If you follow only a portion of Scripture, but not the whole, you will be worse off 100% of the time. By the way, that's the way cults are. Cults take a portion of Scripture, and they follow that and ignore the rest. That's what the Pharisees did. That's what the Sadducees did. That's what cults do. And that is what many churches do and many people who profess to be Christians. And the reason so many young people who are spanked turn out to be horrific, I mean, if you look at the statistics, the chances of them committing domestic violence, the chances of them being arrested, everything goes up if they're spanked. Every bit of it. But that is not talking about biblical discipline. That is talking about just the one action of using corporal punishment. What we're going to see in Scripture is that that is not what the Bible teaches. Okay? Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. Okay? God is going to discipline his children. Don't faint. That means don't quit. Don't give up when God disciplines you. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges. The word scourge there would be physical discipline. That would be could be translated as spanks. Every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? Where is our idea of discipline to be found? Where do we get the idea of discipline? From God. So man-made ideas, the way you were raised, the way your parents disciplined you, the way your grandma did it, we don't follow any of that. One of the horrible things that has crept into the church is this Victorian-era morals. Victorian-era dress, Victorian-era gender roles, Victorian-era discipline, Victorian-era... If it's over 100 years old, it has to be godly. Go read what happened 100 years ago. Go read what happened in the Victorian era. Okay, go read. You can go back thousands of years. Sin has always existed since the fall of Adam. There was no perfect time where everything never went wrong. There has always been sin. There has always been homosexuality, adultery, pornography. There has always been murder and hatred and lust and pride and greed. Always been. So the way your grandparents were raised does not make it right. People from every generation were lost and went to hell. And there was no one that got it perfect other than God himself and the person and his son, Jesus Christ. So when we discipline, we don't look at the way we were raised. We look at the way God treats his kids. We're to be holy as God is holy. If we want to discipline our kids correctly, we want to be like God. We want to treat our children the way God treats his. So he does spank his kids. So, if you are without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then are you illegitimate children and not sons. Okay? If God doesn't discipline you, it's because you're not his kid. So, God has the really good kid and the really bad kid, and the really bad kid gets a lot of spankings, and the really good kid gets none. No. There is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. Every one of God's children sins, and every one of God's children gets disciplined and corrected. Furthermore, verse 9, he's now going to compare our earthly fathers with our heavenly father. We had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. We had parents say, don't do that. And we listened and we obeyed. Okay? Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Okay? If God, if our earthly father says, don't do that, and we listen, when God says, don't do that, shouldn't we listen? If our parents spanked us, and so we got the little connection that, hey, this causes pain, I'm not going to do this, shouldn't we draw the same connection when God disciplines us and say, you know what? This is not fun. I'm not going to keep continuing this way of living because God is not pleased with it. Notice this in verse 10. For they, that's our earthly fathers, verily for a few days chastened us. Okay, we're talking, you know, first 16, most, there are some people who probably got spankings at 16, 17, 18, 19 years of age. But for the most part, by the time you're 13, 14, most of the time spankings, if you were not very hard-headed, spankings ended. If you're really hard-headed, it may have continued way past 16 or 17. But either way, it's a short period of time. It's a short number of years. They chastened us. Notice this phrase. After their own pleasure. Okay, or as it seemed good to them. That's another way to translate it. Based upon their own whims. Now he's contrasting the way earthly parents discipline and the way God disciplines. Earthly parents many times discipline their kids based upon their own whims. How many of you have pet peeves? How many of y'all realize that violating your pet peeves is not a sin? Okay, many parents discipline their kids for doing something that just annoys them. And many times that discipline is based upon the parent's mood. So many times, one action will get a spanking one day, and the next day, it won't get a spanking. Many times, one action will get the daylights beat out of you, which is wrong, and the next day, nobody cares. That's what he's referencing here. Okay, now can you see why children being raised in that environment would turn out bad? Because what do they learn? Do they learn right and wrong? No, what do they learn? Walk on eggshells around dad. Walk on eggshells around mom. There is no right or wrong. However mommy feels is right and wrong. And that happens in many, many families. The way daddy feels is right versus wrong. I don't know if y'all heard one of the guys that was at Mar-a-Lago that we're talking from. They said based upon the hat he wore, it was in good mood, he wear a red hat, and it was in bad mood, he wear a white hat. And so you had to treat him differently based upon which hat he wore. Okay? Many kids, that's their experience. Daddy has a good day at work, then anything goes. Daddy has a bad day at work, nothing goes. Mommy woke up on the right side of bed, you can jump on the furniture and burn the house down, and she doesn't care. Mommy had a bad day. If you so much as sneeze, she'll cut your head off. But you know what? That's many times the way parents are. I have seen it. I know parents who discipline that way. And I know many parents who, when their kids ask them about that, will say, do as I say, not as I do. Now, if that is the way a child is raised, is it any wonder that they're going to turn out worse as opposed to better? If what they learn is not right versus wrong, But what they learn is don't cross mommy. Did they really learn anything about life when mommy's no longer there? Can you see how all the statistics on spanking are true? Because the child is not taught anything about the fear of the Lord. They're just taught there is no morals, there are no rights and wrongs. All I know is that some days I get beaten, some days I don't. And I don't know what I did wrong, because I'm not told what I did wrong. I don't know what's right and what's wrong. But whatever mommy or daddy feels like just happens to be right or wrong at the moment. And then that produces a society like the one in which we live with situational ethics. That sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not. It may be okay for you, but it's not okay for me. It may be wrong for you, but it's not wrong for me. Keep reading. They chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Why does God discipline us? Because we're annoying him at the moment. And he wants to watch the football game, right? No. Why does God discipline us? Because we just went against his pet peeve, and it really annoys us when we chew with our mouth open. No. Why does God discipline us? Because he wants us to be holy. There is an end goal in mind. There is a set, when you talk about holiness, there's a set standard of right and wrong. And that standard does not change based upon moods. God is not a moody person. Okay, God doesn't have good days and bad days. And God doesn't have some days where it's just thunderbolts and lightning, and other days it's just rainbows and puppy dogs. God is not that way. God is consistent. He has a purpose in mind, and that is that he wants us to be holy. And when we break his law, he disciplines us so that we would obey his law. Now you see here consistency. You also see that there is a purpose behind the discipline. For many kids, their understanding of spanking is, mommy's just mad right now, and she took it out on me. Daddy's just mad right now, and he took it out on me. That is not the way God disciplines. God disciplines so that we would be corrected and that we would be holy. Notice in verse 11, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. Spankings are not fun, whether it's from God or from your parents. Okay? This is not something that we enjoy. As parents, many times we don't enjoy disciplining our children. Okay? It's not something that we enjoy. But notice what it says. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What is the purpose of God's discipline? To bring us out of sin and into righteousness. To make us holy. And what is the point of his discipline? To restore us and to correct us. Discipline in Scripture, please understand this. Discipline in Scripture is never, ever, 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 ever punitive. Please understand that. Our wrath is, but God's discipline is not. Okay, we have jokes about men being put in the doghouse. That's from the pits of hell. That's not biblical. It's just not. That's punitive. That's, I'm going to punish you because you hurt me. That's the way parents are sometimes with their kids. You embarrassed me in Walmart. You're getting it when you get home. But they can do the same thing at home and it's okay because you're not embarrassed. You see, many times discipline from parents is punitive. I'm getting you back because you embarrassed me. I'm getting you back because you scratched my nice car. I'm getting you back because you made me miss the big play in the football game. Is God's discipline ever that way? It is always restorative. God wants us to be partakers of his holiness. So the purpose of God's discipline is to correct us and restore us. This is why there is no time out in the Bible. Because God doesn't put people in time out. We have this idea that maybe if I lock you in your room long enough, you'll change. God doesn't lock kids in the room. God doesn't do that. Why? Because that does not bring about restoration. That is punishment. Where it's, you can't be in my presence. No, what does God do? When we sin, he comes to us. He disciplines us, and that's painful, so that he might restore the relationship. How many of y'all have ever felt like when you sinned, you can't talk to God now because he's mad at you for a couple weeks? Sometimes people, it's a couple years. Yeah, preacher, I can't go to church because I did something, you know, a couple weeks ago. That's not in the Bible. And one of the things we do is we teach our children that's the way God is. God's not that way. God disciplines his children to restore them. And that restoration, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us in 2 years. No, it doesn't say that. He's faithful and just to forgive us. That restoration is immediate after the discipline. The discipline is intended to bring us to repentance, and when we repent, the relationship is restored. Immediately. There is no timeout. There is no doghouse. There is no you're grounded for the next 6 months. There is a restoration. Now, if we are going to follow what the Bible says about spanking and disciplining our kids, should we follow the way we were raised, or should we follow God in the way he disciplines his kids? God. Now, if we do not follow God and the way he disciplines his children, guess what we become? Twofold sons of hell who make everything worse. And by the way, statistics prove if you don't, it makes it worse. If you look, many, if not most, of the people who are in prison was not because they weren't spanked. Many of them were spanked. But the spanking was not for the purpose of restoration. The purpose was not correction. The purpose was not to have a restored relationship where the person walks in holiness. The thing was, you made me mad, now you're getting it. Does this not happen in many homes? You can do it once, you can do it twice, you can do it 3 times, you can do it 4 times, you can do it 5 times, you can do it 6 times, but eventually I'm going to blow it and I'm beat the daylights out of you. That is what happens in most homes. That is not biblical. So, with that in mind, we want to be like God. So go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to show several things here. One, children are supposed to honor and obey their parents. They are to respect their parents. They are to speak respectfully to their parents. They are to do what they're asked of their parents. They are to obey their parents. They are to honor their parents. No qualifications. It doesn't say, children, obey your father, but not your mother. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, honor your godly mother, but don't honor your ungodly mother. It's just not there. It's just honor your parents. Honor your parents. Honor your parents. Blanket statement, no qualifications put on whatsoever. Are they your parents? Then you're to honor them and obey them. No questions asked. Okay? Next, when it gets down to verse 4, it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. In Scripture, it is dads who are primarily the ones who are supposed to be doing discipline. And I want to take just a moment to show how, in our society, kids are out of control. But in many respects, the reason kids are out of control is because mothers are the ones that discipline, not dads. And this is two reasons. One, because dads are deadbeats, and not even in the picture. Or two, because the mother has resentment towards the father and interferes with the discipline. I can tell you of kids who figured this out. They figured out that mommy and daddy don't get along too well. So, if daddy gets on to me, I'll just cry really loud and mommy will come to my rescue. Now, how much good does that discipline do that child? None. I know of families. I mean, I could name names this morning. I probably wouldn't know them, but I could name names of where the kids have figured out that mommy and daddy are fighting. And if I get in trouble with daddy, I can go run to mommy, and mommy will take out her frustrations on daddy, and I'll get off the hook. And then mommy and daddy will fight the rest of the day while I do what I want to. And many times, mothers interfere with the biblical process of fathers disciplining their kids. Many times, dads won't even do their job. This does not mean that mothers should not discipline their children. But by and large, if you want to look at one of the number one things that produces godly children, upstanding moral people in society, it's an actively involved father in their life. And many times the reason there is no actively involved father is because the mother drives him out, or because he falls into some type of vice from his own choice. But when you talk about discipline, it's something where the parents have got to be on the same page and the father has to be involved in the process. Next, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. In some translations it says exasperate your children. Don't frustrate or exasperate or make your children angry. Now, what this doesn't mean is there's a guy I went to high school with. He turned out to be a decent guy. But his older brother told us one time that whenever he got in trouble and his dad was going to give him a spanking, he would run from his dad saying, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath! Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath!" Because he was trying to get out of spankings. That's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is not talking about getting out of spankings. What this verse is talking about is that you as a parent can frustrate and exasperate your child and make your child very aggravated and angry. Why? Because they have no idea what's right and what's wrong. They have no idea what's good and what's bad. They have no idea why they're being beaten. They have no idea why they're locked in their room. They have no idea what they did wrong. All they know is that daddy's mad or that mommy's mad. They know that mommy's on the warpath. What did we do wrong? I don't know. Why are we getting in trouble? I don't know. Just keep quiet or it's going to get worse. Guess what that produces? It produces a frustrated, angry child who is going to behave while they're under the roof. And as soon as they're out from under the roof, they're going to go crazy. Why? Because they have no idea what's right and wrong. As soon as mom or dad's not in the picture, they'll go crazy. By the way, how many of you have ever seen that in the church? Tons of young people. Many times, boom, out the door. Many times, never to return. Why? Well, not always, but many times, because they had no idea what was right and what was wrong. They just know, don't cross dad. Don't cross mom. Why? Because they'll go crazy if you do. There is no correction. There is no positive discipline. Positive discipline is when you tell your child what's expected of them and you enable your child to do it. Many times kids get disciplined when they were never taught what to do and they were never given the tools to do it. This is something to bear in mind. Children are not born with an innate knowledge of how to clean, how to make their bed, how to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and please, and thank you. They don't get born that way. They don't come out of the womb with all that knowledge. Things like sweeping the floor actually require a broom. I don't know if you're aware of that. And if you want a child to sweep the floor and you don't provide them a broom, you're provoking your child to wrath. If you hand a 2-year-old a broom and then spank them because they didn't sweep the floor, a 2-year-old can't sweep the floor. All you're going to do is exasperate them. All you're going to do is frustrate them. They're not going to be able to do it. So if you're going to discipline a child, you need to have first instructed the child in righteousness and given them everything they need to do the task required of them, make sure they're capable of doing what's required of them, and give them all the tools necessary. And then, when they disobey, you sit down and correct them. You forgive them. You restore them. And then you help them if they have any problems with it. One of the reasons children grow up so frustrated is because parents just tell them to do something, yet never explain to them how, never teach them, never instruct them, do not give them the tools that they need, do not have patience with them, and do not realize this is a child. You know what? Many times children do things because they're kids. And they don't know better, and they can't do better. I mean, expecting a 6-month-old to color between the lines is ridiculous. I mean, that's ludicrous. And if they don't color between the lines, that's not a reason to spank them. That's not sin. There's no sin there. When you ask a child to do something, what you need to do is first sit down with them, help them learn how to do it, explain to them what it is expected of them, what the end result should look like, and the consequences if they don't do it. What normally happens, though, is parents come home, they're tired, they're aggravated, they've had a hard day, they just had a fight, and they say, go clean your room. And the child walks in and goes, well, it looks clean to me. They don't know what clean's supposed to look like because no one's ever told them. Go make your bed. And they look at it and say, well, there's sheets on it. It's made. And then the parent comes in, and they're already aggravated, and they're already steaming, and they're already mad at something else, and they take out their anger on their child. No wonder the kid's going to grow up to resent you. It doesn't work that way. So when we talk about spanking, you can't talk about spanking in and of itself. You have to talk about discipline that is instructive, that is corrective, that is restorative. Anytime you take out your frustration on your kids, that's child abuse. I don't care if it's just asking them to sit on the couch and be still. Anytime you take out your frustrations on your kids, that is contrary to what the Bible teaches. You may not beat them with a 2x4, but if you take out your frustrations on your child, especially for being a child, that is contrary to Scripture. So when we talk about child abuse, it's not necessarily what you do. It's what have you done leading up to this? Why are you doing what you're doing? What is the end result? What is the purpose behind this? I remember going with a guy one time, we were talking about raising kids before I was married, and he made some comment about how he was never going to spank his kids. I thought, well, your kids are going to my kids aren't going to be hanging around with your kids because your kids are going to be jerks. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, you mean you're going to spank your kids? I was like, yeah. And he looked at me like I was an animal. And I said, something's not right here. So I asked him, what do you mean by spanking? He said, my dad would come home without warning, take off his belt, and hit me the back of the head, the back of the legs, the back, anywhere. Face, it didn't matter. He would just chase me around the house, whipping the daylights out of me, slam me in the door, slam me in the room, and lock it, and I wouldn't let it come out the rest of the night. And the next morning, that's like nothing happened. I said, whoa, that's not what I'm talking about. I won't do that with my kids. In his mind, that's spanking. Now, this guy ended up having tons of problems. Behavior issues, marriage issues, everything. Duh. Look at the way he was raised. He was never told what was right and wrong. He was just beaten mercilessly. Locked in the room. Grew up to hate his dad. Had no relationship with his father. Why? Because his dad had no relationship with him. There was no restoration. There was no, son, you don't talk to your mother that way. Let's go and apologize to your mother. There was none of that. He didn't even know what he did wrong. All he knew is that as soon as dad got in the door, off came the belt and he beat me. He had no idea why. He didn't know what he did. That's provoking your child to wrath. But by the way, in all those statistics, guess what that gets lumped in? That's spanking. And no wonder kids who are spanked turn out so bad. So when we talk about spanking versus abuse, it's not necessarily what is done for the discipline. It is far more, did you instruct your child? Did you give your child something they're capable of doing? Did you give them all the tools they need to do it? You know, if you want your child to do homework, but you don't give them a pen and pencil, don't get mad at them. If their books are locked up and you get mad at them because they didn't read it, that's your fault, not theirs. If you want them to vacuum, but the vacuum cleaner's broken, that's your fault, not theirs. You need to make sure that your children know what to do, what's expected of them, and then after the discipline, they must be restored. Restored. That means, I forgive you. Let's go out and throw baseball. There is none of this, you know what, we're not on speaking terms for the next 3 days because of what you did. That's not in the Bible. That's paganism. That's not Christianity. God is not that way with us, and we should not be that way with others. Forgiveness means a restoration of the relationship. So is there discipline? Yes. Is that discipline going to be physical? Yes, we're going to see that. But if you do not do it with a corrective, restorative, right and wrong, where you've instructed them and you've enabled them and you've given them everything necessary, you are already entering into child abuse, even if you do the exact same thing as the other parent who is not disciplining, who is not, you know, beating their kid or whatever. The issue is far more, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? What is the reason? What is your goal behind this? We don't want to frustrate our kids. We don't want to exasperate. We don't want them to be annoyed with us. We don't want them to hate us. We don't want them, especially when we tell them, well, that's what the Bible says. Then you just made the kids hate the Bible. Because many times what parents tell their kids, I'm doing this because God tells me to. No, you're not doing what God tells you to do. Because what God would do is embrace the child and forgive them and then go play with tractors on the floor with them. That's what God would do. He wouldn't put you in timeout. That's not the way God treats his children. And that's not the way we're supposed to treat one another either. So, with that in mind, go to Proverbs 13. See, if you take one passage of Scripture, like Proverbs 13, and you take it away from Hebrews 12, and you take it away from Ephesians 6, you're going to produce some pretty ungodly stuff in the name of Christianity. And I want to make very clear that that ungodly stuff is not Christianity. Proverbs 13:24. He that spares his rod, okay, that was what we call a paddle, hates his son. Okay, if you don't spank your kids, you don't love them. Now, but he that loves him chastens him betimes. That means often. No, this does not mean the little old lady who lived in the shoe had so many children she didn't know what to do, so she fed them all and then she spanked them all and sent them to bed. This is not the, I know you did something wrong today, so I'm giving you a spanking even though I don't know what it is. Okay, that's, you know, how many of y'all have heard that with the little old lady in the shoe? She spanks them all soundly and sends them to bed every day. You may have gotten away with something, so I want to make sure you get a spanking before you go to bed. That's not what this betimes means. What it means is that there is a very clear standard in your home where your child is taught from Scripture, children obey your parents, honor your father and mother, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor, God hates a lying tongue, where we put all be kind one to another, okay? Do all things without murmuring and complaining. We teach our children, this is what's expected of you. Our child begins to act out. We said, no, this is a better way, but let's try this. The next time your brother takes your toy, let's go and ask him, may I have that back, please? Wow, wasn't that easy? Next time, as opposed to screaming, let's try that. And we teach them, and we give them all the tools that they need. We instruct them. And then we tell them, if you do not follow this, you will get a spanking. There will not be a count to three. There will not be another warning. We have taught you, we have instructed you, we have told you what is expected of you, and we will have told you what will happen if you cross the line. And then every time they break it, you spank them. That's what it means betimes. This is not a, well, I spanked them once when they're two. They shouldn't be acting out when they're 14. That's crazy. It's consistency. 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 It's what it's speaking here is the parent who consistently disciplines their children. Not the, I'm tired so my kids can get away with murder. I'm aggravated. They have to walk on eggshells. That is a way to provoke your children to wrath. Okay. Next, Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Please remember, your children are born foolish. Okay, this means several things. One, it means the rod of correction will drive it far from him. They need to be disciplined. But it also means you need to be patient. You're not dealing with a 40-year-old. You're dealing with a 4-year-old. Be patient. I mean, so often parents take out their wrath on their child because the child is being a child. Okay, children just have a limited capacity to carry out tasks. They're children. Treat them like children. That being said, if you want them to grow up to be wise, you're going to have to discipline them. But notice the word that's used. It's not the rod of punishment. What is it? The rod of correction. What are we trying to do? Let the children know they crossed the line and made daddy mad. It's time to pay. No. This is wrong behavior. Now let's go back and let's do right behavior. This is not the way you go through the house, okay? Don't run with scissors. Don't run with scissors. Don't run with scissors. Oh, you ran with scissors? That is foolish behavior. Running with scissors is very foolish behavior. Okay? You're going to stop the child. You're going to instruct them. You're going to explain to them what happens when they fall. You're going to illustrate it, not by falling on them yourself, but illustrate what happens when they fall with scissors, how that can damage them, how that can hurt them. And eventually, though, if they keep running with scissors, you're going to have to spank them. Because you've taught them, you've instructed them, you've explained to them, you know they're capable of walking. But then what do? You take the child back and say, now let's walk across the room and I'll hold your hand this time. We're going to correct the behavior. It's not, you know what, you're just an idiot. I've told you 10 times. Go to your room, I don't want to see you again until tomorrow. That is provoking your child to wrath. That is abusive behavior that will damage your child. We want to correct sinful, foolish behavior. Next, Proverbs 23, verse 13. Withhold not correction from a child. For if you beat him with the rod, he shall not die. I want to make it very clear, the Bible teaches spanking, and spanking should be painful. I was talking with some people the other day, and we were talking about why didn't we learn from our mistakes? Well, unfortunately, as human beings, we normally only learn from one thing, and that's pain. As an adult, that's about the only thing I learn from, is pain. I wish I was otherwise. I wish I learned differently. Spanking should be painful. That being said, you should not slap your child across the face. You should not scar them. They should not be bleeding. You should not break a bone. You should not starve them. You should not lock them up. That is child abuse. I know of kids who have been locked in their room without food for days. That's abuse. God does not do that to his children. Okay? If a child comes away with bruises, welts, they're bleeding, that is not what the Bible's talking about with spanking. Okay? If you break your child's leg, that is abuse. There is no other word for that. When God disciplines his children, he doesn't destroy us as people. Some people teach, you know, you have to break the child. No. No, we're not out to completely damage someone. Many times the traits that child has that aggravate you are a God-given thing that if you could correct, it would be the most amazing thing they've ever had. I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but being bullheaded is one of the most amazing traits God could ever give a human being. If it's on the wrong course, it's horrible. But if you can ever get a bullheaded person on the right course, nothing. There are not enough demons in hell that will change them. So when you have a strong-willed child, we're not here to destroy that. We're here to correct that. We're here to correct that will so that they are born again and so that they have a new will that is submissive to the will of God. But if you've ever seen people like Spurgeon and Edwards and Whitfield, those were some bullheaded men with iron wills. They were just wills that were submissive to the will of God. So please, don't think of this, my child has this defective personality trait. You know what? Many times, that's given to them by God to be redeemed and to be restored. And you as a parent have to correct that. When it speaks of raising a child in the way he should go, the word they are speaking of, and according to his bent, and that is knowing the heart of your child, knowing their weak points and their strong points, and instructing and teaching them and helping them in light of who they are, in light of the personality God has given them, in light of the learning styles God has given them, in light of who they are, we're not trying to cookie cutter our kids. We're not trying to take a square peg and put it in a round hole. We're trying to take foolishness and make wisdom. We're trying to take sin and make righteousness. We're trying to correct our child. Okay? Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. What is the purpose of our disciplining our children? To make them wise. This is not punitive. We want to correct the behavior. We want to see them restored to a right relationship with God. But a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. If you don't discipline your kids, you're going to be embarrassed when you get older. Just the way it is. Okay? If you do not spank your kids and discipline them the way the Bible says, you can just go ahead and just plan on taking many trips out of church and out of Walmart with your head hung low and your face red. You will be embarrassed. And it'll only get worse when they become adults. My dad told me all the time, fool's names, fool's faces, always seen in public places. And you're going to be ducking your head every time the news comes on because they're going to be on the front page. You're not going to be able to go into the post office because there's going to be their picture on a morning poster. Discipline them now. Discipline them now. Proverbs 29, verse 17. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yeah, he will give delight to your soul. What is the purpose here? Notice it doesn't say spank. It says correct. What is the purpose of spanking? To correct. Not to punish. Not to, I'm going to let you know how angry I am. Let you know how bad my day's been. We're seeking to correct our children. So, what is the difference between spanking and child abuse? Well, they're not even in the same category. They're worlds different. In the Bible, spanking is part of disciplining and correcting and restoring and bringing about holiness and righteousness and conversion within our children. Abuse is when you take out your frustration and your anger on your child because what they're doing annoys you. And I don't care if that's putting them in timeout for 3 seconds or hitting them with a 2x4. You are provoking your child to wrath, and that is wrong. Now, obviously, permanently damaging your child, scarring your child, broken bones, bruises, hitting them across the face, breaking their nose, giving them a black eye, that's all abuse. Starving your child, that's all abuse. But, you know, in some respects, not giving your child a hug and saying, I forgive you, is abusive. Okay? We want to see our children restored. We want to see them corrected. We're not just taking our wrath out on them. Okay? Any questions about this? All right, easier said than done. I will say that. Much easier said than done. All right, Gabe, you can close the prayer.